This is Dr. Joe Webb of the What They Think Economics and Research Center with our monthly printing shipments report for April 2010. This is being recorded on June 6, 2010. All this is copyright 2010 by What They Think. And I want to welcome all of our premium member subscribers who are, many of them are going to be seeing this report for the first time. This has been one of the more popular reports in our e-store, and it was decided that this would become a regular feature for the premium members. So every month, this will be either a chart of the week or a separate download. For this particular month, it's a chart of the week. So you see one of the charts that we'll be talking about very shortly. But we have a lot to discuss. And throughout, I'm going to try to explain the kinds of things that we do to forecast the marketplace, and also to familiarize any of our listeners with the process of inflation adjustment and why it's important, and also what are some of the problems that it causes. And we'll discuss what problems we have when we don't do it as well. So why don't we jump right into slide 3, which is our executive summary. And you see that the April shipments were a little over $7 billion, and that was down almost 2% compared to April of last year. Now, we've had some really bad months to start this year. January and February were pretty gruesome. But March and April were a lot better. Now, they're still declining, and there is some sense of a moral victory because it's not declining 5 and 6% the way it was. I mean, last year it was pretty awful. For the full year, in current dollars, it was down 13.3%. I mean, the best month was December, down 8.6% compared to the prior year. I mean, that's pretty bad. We even had one month, April of last year, which compared to 2008, was down 16.8%. Now, all of this is based on data that comes to us from the Department of Commerce. They publish these data on a regular basis, about 6 weeks after the month is finished, and it's always subject to revision, and they do make minor revisions on a month-to-month basis, but also they have a major annual revision that occurs every May. So these are the data based on this latest revision that came out about 2 weeks ago. We'll be having a separate paid report to be released very soon about historical printing shipments, and will include a lot of other features to it. So be sure to keep an eye out for that press release about that. But in January this past year, we were down 9.3%, February down 6.7%, and then March, a burst of sunshine, or maybe a little crack in the clouds, 1.3% down, and April 1.9% down. Now, when we compare this on an inflation-adjusted basis, there are a variety of problems that are exposed, not just about the industry, but about the economy as a whole. April was down 4.1% after you make some adjustment for inflation. Now, there were some times during last year where, because the bubble burst in various commodity prices like oil, that inflation was actually negative. We had what some people call disinflation, or deflation is when the prices actually go down. So take your pick. Disinflation is when the inflation rate slows down and may actually become negative, but it's not really very permanent. But deflation, something like housing prices have deflated, where the current dollar value was greater than the inflation-adjusted value compared to the prior year. So 2009 was a little quirky from this regard, but we're back on the path of having steadily rising inflation, and this means that every dollar that we produce in our printing plants is actually worth less than the prior year. That's a real problem when prices for printing are not going up. If anything, prices for printing are going down. But the inflation rate, the things we buy in the store, are going up. So there's a rule of, or an area of thinking that says, well, we should adjust these with the producer price index. And yes, and we do that We publish that in our historical printing shipments, and we do this on a pretty regular basis. We don't publish it all that often, but because we're more concerned about the CPI, because what are the dollars that are in our pockets as business owners or as workers or even as buyers of printing? Those are consumer dollars that are out in the marketplace. So there will occasionally be a difference between the PPI and the CPI, and we are definitely in that situation now. So that means that we have to work even harder to retain the same kind of purchasing power that we take in salary or in earnings from our businesses to go out in the marketplace and buy things. So this has pushed printing owners into a very difficult circumstance. They know their prices aren't increasing in the marketplace, but they know their costs are going up. And they also realize that they're in a situation where they can't give many of their workers raises. You know, you can only do that for so long before the workers get discouraged. But this is the reason for it. So even if somebody has the same kind of salary, their purchasing power is declining. And that's why we use CPI in making our adjustment. And if there's a disagreement with that, well, that's the reason why we publish things in current dollars. We get the data in current dollars from the government. The government rarely adjusts for inflation. They will do this on only certain reports, like the GDP report. There they use a totally different calculation for inflation, and I don't want to burden people with that in this, especially our first monthly printing shipments report that's available for so many people, because they may never want to listen again. But at some other point in time, we will have that opportunity to do that. So inflation adjusted, we were down 4.1%, and for the first months of 2010, we were down 4.7 in current and 6.9 on inflation adjusted. Now, to have April and March be this good, you can see it's really quite different than January and February. And things may be loosening up a little bit in corporations where they're actually spending a bit more money, and retailers might be getting a little bit more optimistic and spending a little bit more on retail advertising. Just a few days ago, we got a report from Kantar Media that said that freestanding inserts were up in terms of revenues. They only count distribution costs. I'm not talking about how many were sent, but the amount that advertisers paid to have their inserts distributed went up by a fairly good margin. And that's a good sign. All the other printing categories went down, unfortunately, but that particular one went up. So maybe the retailers are starting to loosen up a little bit. Now, one thing we have here every month is Canada data, and that is published a few weeks after we publish the U.S. data in terms of the government publishing them. So as far as this report is concerned, we're always a month behind on Canada. So when we have the April shipments, we have the March shipments for Canada, which were about $794 million Canadian. That was down 4.1%. And about 5.5% on an inflation-adjusted basis, and we use Canada's CPI from Statistics Canada for that. We also convert it into an exchange rate basis, and that was pretty close to flat, 0.8% in current dollars and 2.2% on an inflation-adjusted basis. So things might be getting a little better there. Canada's printing industry had a very, very difficult time. A lot of their exports into the U.S. were affected very, very negatively by the change in the value of the dollar to the Canadian dollar. In the long run, the Canadian dollar is proven to be a much better managed currency than the U.S. dollar. So that's one of those things, you know, the edges of which side of the sword you're getting in that particular case. But in the short run, they were very, very hurt by that. And in case anybody was wondering, last year when we had such a difficult time with shipments down about 12, 13%, whatever it was, imports of all printing were down 25%. So anyone who had the idea, well, of course, that's because we're importing so much printing. People who were exporting to the U.S. were disappointed around the world that their exports went down faster. Our forecast is for $82 billion for this year for the U.S. We have some forecasting models saying that $85 billion can happen. I think that would be a big turnaround. I'd be surprised if that really happened. So I think that is unlikely. And our forecast for Canada went down a little bit. It was going to be $9 billion Canadian, according to last report, but is now $8.9 billion Canadian. So we now have 4 months behind us. We have 8 months to go as far as our forecasting models are going. And still, you know, there's time for all these forecasts to be wrong because we're not in what were traditionally very strong months yet of our industry, which were September, October, November. And as we go through these charts that are coming up, I'll talk a little bit about the seasonality of our industry and how it's changed in terms of new media and the like. Let's go to slide 4. Here is our current dollar shipments, and you see that we had 3 years that were pretty close together, 2006, 7, and 8. And then we have last year, which was, we hoped, a special case. But based on the beginning of this year, appears to have been not. We seem to be mirroring last year already. So you see 2010 is the bottom. So you see January, February, you see look pretty bad. And then we got close to last year with March. And then April is hugging that line as well. For the overall seasonality, if you look at the prior years, you see how important October used to be. And if we had other years on this chart that were back 2003, 2000, even in the 1990s, October was an absolutely critical month for our industry, and a lot of that had to do with retail printing and also catalogs for Christmas and other holidays. That has flattened out with the rise of e-commerce. And last year, March, which was a very strong month, if you look through all that clutter on the chart, March is now the strong month of the year. And this is one of the reasons why many of the very large printers seem to have problems during the fourth quarter of the year, because they were going, they were allocating their resources and doing their budgets based on this burst of activity toward the end of the season, where magazines would have more advertising pages and catalogs would be going out with greater frequency and be obviously many more pages and the like, and more activity on the newspaper insert side and even influenced by preparation in the book business for books being given as gifts and so on. That's not happening now. And you could even see that in the brown line, which is 2008, you see that had flattened out very, very much. So last year, March was our biggest month. And I'm hoping that that's not the case, but we'll know very soon as we get through these next few months, where we have a natural decline in our business to where July is usually a very, very slow month. Because there are still many printing plants to shut down for 2 weeks in July. So, of course, it's going to be slow. But we'll see if we continue this particular pattern. And we're always concerned about the ramp-up that we start to see in August and September. And we won't know that for quite some time. We will see that a little bit more in the employment data, perhaps, and we'll have some of that employment data with us in the upcoming slide. But as we go to slide 5, it's the same data as we had before, except it is now inflation adjusted. So therefore, you see the data here where there's a little bigger gap between the years, and you start to see 2008 stand out a little bit more. It's not in the pack. And if you want, go back and forth between the slides, and you can see the effect of the inflation adjustment. Now, slide 6, we add one of our forecasting models to it, so we look at the whole year. Sorry for the little change in colors here, but the bottom two lines are the ones that we want. We want 2009 is the green line, and 2010 is the yellow line. That has our forecast. So our statistical forecasting models, of which we have more than one, but this particular one we use for here is called the Box-Jenkins, which is basically a moving average model. And it appears that there's going to be like about a $200 million gap per month for each of the months going forward. And it is showing that March will be our strongest month and that October will be our weakest October, well, since I have data going back. Many of these comparisons, when you look at them without adjusting them for inflation, we are below shipment levels back in the 1990s. Now, when you inflation adjust those, we were having $12 billion months. So it really shows the tremendous effect of electronic media and other factors in our business. Now, slide 8 is our employment data. And one of the reasons we like our employment data is it gives us a little preview of what's going on, because print businesses have tended to run so tight on their cash flow that they really can't afford to have more workers than they really need on their payrolls. They may be able to have some workers in anticipation of months that are going to be very, very busy, because you want to make sure you have experienced workers on the payroll. But in the long term, they really cannot have more workers than they can financially support. So the employment data come out every month. So we already have May's data, even though we don't have May's shipment data. And May's data, so if you look in May 2010 and compare it to April 2010, you see a slight decline of about 1,000 workers, which is relatively meaningless, which is telling us that May is probably going to be kind of flat with April. We did have some months last year where we had very, very steep declines. And we started to see many of these declines in September as it became clear that there weren't going to be very many printing contracts that were going to be equivalent to the year before. The other area we'll look at further down on the chart, since the Bureau of Labor Statistics does not publish May, the most current month May data for all of these other categories, we start looking at the graphic design and advertising agencies' employment as an indicator of when things might be turning around. Now, in years when we had a little stronger business, like in 2005, we saw an increase in hiring in advertising and graphic design firms in the spring. So we'll be looking at the May and June hiring and overall employment levels in these groups as an indicator of what the fall might be like. If we start to see the employment stabilize in this area for graphic design in the 60,000 workers area and for ad agencies in the 407,000 employees area, that might be an indication that the fall might be okay, because so many of these big retail promotions get planned out at about that time. So if we see the hiring there, that will give us an indication of what might be going on a few months down the road. So we look at this extremely carefully, and we have seen a lot of the changes in employment on a year-to-year basis. Those percentages are pretty steep still, 6.2% for change in printing employment. That has come back a lot. That was down 12.5% a few months ago. So we're starting to stabilize a little bit here. It's also very important to remember that we are below the forecast for employment that the Bureau of Labor Statistics made for 2018 in our industry. They were expecting declines in employment of 1.8% per year, and we are clearly past that. So our industry is changing radically, and last year was a very, very critical point in that. In fact, when you really look hard at it, mid-2007, the introduction of the iPhone, the rise of social media, and a variety of other factors all came together and have really changed the direction of things for us. And speaking of direction, we have slide 9. This is our forecast for up till 2016. We update these every month. We inflation adjust them based on the most current inflation data that we have. So I guess the most important column is the green one. That is our judgmental forecast based on our view of all of the models and our understanding of various other trends that are occurring. Remember, all forecasting models can do is look at strings of numbers and kind of estimate what the pattern is there. But there are things that happen in marketplaces that are not based on the numbers. They're based on technology, demographic shifts, the change in the political background, other, you know, taxation, all kinds of things. And the models can't know that. The history has all the effects of those things in it, so we have to look at that. But as far as what the future holds, models cannot forecast those kinds of things. You can create models where you're able to adjust some variables in the models to account for them. But basically, you have to, especially when you're dealing with the effects of technology, be well-versed in what's going on in the marketplace and make a judgment saying, do we think the model is too high or too low? So we have a conservative model, which is basically a moving average model. And is looking at a 2016 market of about $55.5 billion. Then we have an aggressive model, which doesn't weight everything equally, kind of like a moving average does. Moving average will look at patterns in data and kind of smooth them out. Our aggressive model weights things that occur most recently most heavily. And for a little while, these two models were delivering the same kind of forecast. But recently, the forecast for 2016 has been getting a bit lower. Now, it'll be interesting to watch how this model evolves over time, but it's been delivering a number somewhere in the low 30s for a little over a year. The years that are closer in, 2011, 2012, have been closer. They have started to diverge a little bit again. We don't mean to turn this into a situation where the old saying is a man with two watches never really knows what time it is, but these are, knowing that the background of these forecasting models are created differently, gives you an idea which ones are you can rely on, which ones you can't. And I've been using these models now for 20 or so years, and the aggressive model always comes out. I call it aggressive because it's a way, a layman's term of describing it. It always comes out with forecasts that I believe cannot happen, but very often actually do. Now, as far as the GDP model goes, that's a basic regression model for those of you who remember regression analysis back in school. And this is extremely unreliable, and the relationship of the economy and print broke about 15 years ago almost. And it's still forecasting market sizes that we had 3-4 years ago. And it's just never really caught up with it. It's still within an error range, which the error range seems to be about $15 billion. But it's not reliable. But nonetheless, we still do it because one day it may actually be right. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a market of about $51 billion in 2016. And that is primarily a technology effect of displacement of printed goods by electronic communications. And we will discuss this at various other times in upcoming editions. But these are the forecasts that we're running with right now, and we've generally had quite a good track record of forecasting the overall aggregate marketplace. On slide 10 is a chart of the different forecasts, so this way you see them all together, and we've put the numbers in for the first and last bar of each of those groups. Now, slide 11 goes on to Canada. Canada, as we said, has been having a very, very tough time. The bottom line, the blue line is the original current dollar data, and then the line above that is the inflation-adjusted data for Canada. And then the two lines below that, the yellow one is the original data adjusted for the U.S. exchange rate, and then the lighter blue line is the inflation adjusted using the CPI for Canada in that. And our forecast is on slide 12. You see the aggressive model here has come up with an absolutely scary prognostication of Canada's industry, and I believe that the aggressive model is absolutely wrong, but I know that the conservative one is not right. We've just calculated a mean between the two of them, and that is basically the forecast for right now. Canada's a little tougher to forecast because so much of its volume are exports to the U.S. But also, it's a smaller industry, and Canada's economy is a resource-based industry with a lot of timber products and also a lot of petroleum products. So the nature of its economy is quite different than the U.S., so it's a little more difficult to forecast it in terms of that regard. Slide 13, I just want to advise people again that the book Disrupting the Future, which I wrote with Richard Romano, is still available at no charge for a PDF version. And the link right at the top of that slide is live. So if you click to that, it will go directly to a special What They Think page where you can download our past two books and also some other information for that. In recent reports, we've obviously are going on a little bit longer here for the first time of doing this, but the reports tend to be about 10 minutes long. And we've tackled a lot of different subjects with the economy and with new media and print and changes that are occurring to printing industry demographics and the likes of that. And we will be doing that in upcoming issues. So we're generally available. It will be the second Mondays of every month. And unless there's a column scheduled for that time, it will be the chart of the week. And if it's not the chart of the week, that week, we will have it sometime during the second week of the month. So I look forward to having a newer audience working with these particular data and also asking questions about it. And if you want to ask questions, just go onto the Economics and Research Center page at What They Think, and you'll see a place where you can click Ask Dr. Joe, and be sure to send that to us, and we will perhaps at some point have a question and answer session as a part of our monthly printing shipments report. But in the meantime, I want to thank everyone very much for downloading this very special free edition for our premium subscribers, and I look forward to chatting with you again next month.